Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, August 20th, 2023, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. SOP called for a few moments of silent prayer. That gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have preserved for us the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food and manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, yesterday the evangelism team went out to Boulder City and the veterans' home, and Jamie has an update here I'll read to you. We had a fantastic time out at the veterans' home at Boulder City. It was definitely all by God's grace and God's power. We think it was the best one ever. I checked, and the last time we had our freedom program there was in 2017. Wow, how time flies. We were scheduled to go in March of 2020, but that's when everything shut down due to COVID. The staff there was very helpful in bringing residents in, and Jerry counted 35 that attended. Two that we met were a 96-year-old man who fought in World War II and another man that had five Purple Hearts. They were all very positive. They sang songs, and you could have heard a pin drop while Gary presented the gospel. He did an excellent job and also sang the song, "While he was on the cross, I was on his mind." We handed out gospel booklets, freedom cards, and gospel freedom necklaces, and then talked individually to those that attended. They really enjoyed it. It was a blessing to be there and to see God at work. Thank you all for your prayers. Please keep these people in your prayers. Thank you, Jamie and the team. All right, Romans chapter 6. I'm not even going to talk about the rain out. This is nothing. This is nothing. Everybody made a big deal like, look out! Here comes Hillary. Well, who the hell cares about Hillary? This is nothing. You want to see rain? Live in Seattle. That's rain. This is nothing. It piddled out and fizzled out and drizzled out. And so that's a non-issue. I wasn't even going to talk about it at all because it's absolutely nothing. But there, I lied. Romans chapter 6, let's start corrected translation at verse 1. Great chapter. A very, very important chapter in the Word of God that teaches the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. Not water baptism, the baptism of the Spirit. One of the most important doctrines, church age doctrine, church age truth for us today, living in the church age. Verse 1, therefore, what are we to say or to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Megenoita, emphatically not. We who have died to the sin nature, baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, how can we live by the power of the sin nature any longer? Or are you ignorant? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, the baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into his death, retroactive positional truth? Therefore, we have been buried together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism of the Spirit, into death. Again, retroactive positional truth. For the purpose that just as Christ was raised out from the dead, by means of the glory, the omnipotence of the Father, God the Father, so also we, royal family of God, might live in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have become intimately united with him in the likeness of his death, first class condition, and we have through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, certainly we shall also be intimately united with him in the likeness of his resurrection through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. Now in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, we have the implications of positional truth. In Romans 6, verses 6 and 7, we have the implications of retroactive positional truth. And then in Romans 6, 8, we will have the implications of current positional truth. First of all, the implications of retroactive positional truth. Verse 6 says, and keep on knowing this, that our old man, one of the titles, Pleios Anthropos, one of the titles describing the sin nature, and keep on knowing this, that our old man, the sin nature, has been crucified together with him, Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth. And then the rest of the verse, we have two purposes of retroactive positional truth. Purpose number one, that the sin nature might be rendered powerless. And it's here the sin nature is described by the phrase, the body of sin. And rendered powerless is the Greek word katargeo. K-A-T-A-R-G-E-long-O. Katargao. Katargao means to make ineffective, to render useless, to render inoperative, to make powerless. The aorist tense is the culminative aorist, the culmination of being crucified with Christ, retroactive positional truth, is for the purpose that the sin nature might be rendered powerless. Katargeo. The passive voice, the sin nature receives the action of being rendered powerless through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, being identified with Christ in his death and burial. And keep on knowing this, that our old man, the sin nature, has been crucified together with him, Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that, purpose number one of retroactive positional truth, that the body of sin, the sin nature, might be rendered powerless. And then we have purpose number two, for the purpose that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And this is the Greek word douleo. That's D-O-U-L-E-U long O. Douleo. And this is the verb. Literally, it means to be a slave or to serve as a slave or to obey as a slave. Figuratively, which is how it's used here, it means to be a slave to the sin nature. And we have the adverb makati, which means no longer. The articular infinitive introduces purpose number two. It introduces purpose number two of being crucified together with Christ, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial through the baptism of the Spirit. Purpose number two of retroactive positional truth is that positionally the believer is free from slavery to the sin nature. The human body is the throne for the sin nature. The sin nature rules human life through spiritual death from its throne in the human body. The sin nature's location in the human body explains why the Holy Spirit indwells the body at the moment of faith in Christ's salvation. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. The Holy Spirit indwells the body because the sin nature also resides there. And now there is a war going on inside of you between God the Holy Spirit and the sin nature, to see who is going to control your soul. And that's Galatians 5, 16 and 17. If you're filled with the Spirit, then God the Holy Spirit controls your soul. If you sin and are grieving and or quenching the Spirit, then the old sin nature controls your soul. So again, verse 6 says, and keep on knowing this, that our old man, our Pleios Anthropos, the sin nature, has been crucified together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that, purpose number one of retroactive positional truth, that the body of sin might be rendered powerless. And then, purpose number two of retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that we should no longer be slaves to the sin nature. So at that point, we thought we'd take a look at this critter called the sin nature. What does the Word of God have to say about the sin nature? We studied point one. Point one included definition and the biblical documentation in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, which says, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin and its hamartia in the singular. And that's very important. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Now this is translated, this is the word for sin. But it's very, very important. This is why you, a pastor, should study the scriptures from the original autographs. It matters whether it's in the singular or whether it's in the plural. When hamartia is in the plural, it refers to personal sins. When hamartia is in the singular, which it is here, it most of the time refers to the sin nature and sometimes to the principle of sin. We have it in the singular, and it refers to the sin nature. Therefore, Romans 5:12, just as through one man, Adam, sin, the sin nature, entered into the world, and spiritual death through the sin nature, so spiritual death spread to the entire human race, because all sinned when Adam sinned. And then we noted the characteristics of spiritual death. First of all, the first characteristic is that the status quo of dichotomy in the human race, having simply a body and a soul at physical birth, but no human spirit. And without a human spirit, you can have no relationship with God and no fellowship with God. 1 Corinthians 2:14. And then also, spiritual death means total depravity. This total depravity can be moral degeneracy or immoral degeneracy, depending upon one's trend in his sin nature. Third, spiritual death also means total separation from God. And fourth, spiritual death means total helplessness to perform any work, any sacrifice, any change of life by which we can enter into a relationship with God. The only way we can enter into a personal relationship with God is to accept His work on our behalf. That is, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His salvation work on the cross. And then we noted the threefold essence of the old sin nature in our definition. And as I put this up there, last time I told you that the Little League team from Henderson was in the Little League World Series, they lost their first game. They went to the loser's bracket, and yesterday they played Ohio and slaughtered them. 13-2. They have a mercy rule. After four innings, if you're up by more than 10 runs, the game's over. So the game ended in the fourth inning, 13-2. They play again today and continue on. So I just get this baseball I've got to talk about. The sin nature has an area of weakness that produces personal sin. It has an area of strength that produces human, good, dead works. And I can't tell you how many people are both believers and unbelievers, very impressed about their human good. God's not impressed. This does not impress God at all. It doesn't please God. God is not pleased when the unbeliever has all this human good. And I have known unbelievers that are far more full of human good than, just good, nice people, than most Christians. Some of the worst people in the world are Christians. And I always bring Debbie's dad was an excellent example. He was the nicest, goodest person I ever knew. It was always a pleasure to be around him. He was considerate. He was thoughtful. He made the best gin and tonic ever. And everybody just said, he is such a nice, nice man and does all these good things. And everybody thought for sure, if there's a heaven, Bob Smalley's going to be there. He's just so nice and so good. But he was an unbeliever. Everything was coming from his sin nature, and it didn't please God at all. And he came down every year. And every time he came down, you all knew about it because it was kind of like a Baptist church. I gave the gospel all day long. And he would sit back there and turn beet red. But he knew the issue. And I'd always make the issue. It's not your works. It's faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. No one is going to be in heaven because of your works. And he heard that and heard that and heard that. And then when he got to the end of his life, if you're going to believe in Jesus Christ, God assigns a guardian angel to keep you alive till you reach that point where you do believe in Christ. Well, God knew that Bob was going to believe in Christ, so he had a guardian angel. And near the end of his life, the guardian angel talked to him in his mobile home. Bob, why are you fighting this? Fumble. Why are you fighting this? And so Bob said, why am I fighting this? And he got out of the mobile home, went over to where Lori, his daughter, was living. He said, I was talking to this guy in my mobile home and he asked me, why am I fighting this? And I knew he was talking about, why am I fighting this believing in Jesus Christ? And she said, Lori, will you tell me again, what do I have to do? How can I know that I will be in heaven and be with you and be with Carol and be with Debbie and be with Susan? What is it? And so she gave him the gospel, and he prayed and believed in Jesus Christ right there. And then he got so excited, he said, I have to call Debbie right now. So he called Debbie, and Lori says, you aren't going to believe what Dad has to say to you. And he told her, there was this guy in my mobile, he kept asking, why am I fighting this? It was his guardian angel. And he said, I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then he said, and I know, it's not by my works. It's not by my works. It's just faith in Jesus Christ. God's not impressed with your human good. It doesn't please God at all. It coming from the sin nature. So that's a part of the sin nature. Everybody knows about sins coming from the sin nature. But human good, dead works, comes from the sin nature. And then you have lust patterns. Lust patterns in the sin nature. So we studied this. The area of weakness produces personal sin. We saw that in Hebrews 12:1. The area of strength produces human good. We saw that in Isaiah 64:6 and Romans 8:8. and the lust patterns which motivate sin and evil, lasciviousness, asceticism, moral degeneracy, immoral degeneracy, lust patterns made up of power lust, money lust, approbation lust, sexual lust, chemical lust, drugs, alcohol, criminal lust. All of these are a part of the lust pattern. And we're going to be studying this in more detail when we get to Romans chapter 7. And the Apostle Paul learned that there is a sin nature and spiritual death. He learned it from the Mosaic Law and the Tenth Commandment. And we're going to find that in Romans 7:7, which says, therefore, what are we to say or to conclude? Is the law sin? Meganoita, emphatically not. On the contrary, I would not have come to know about the sin nature. And this is again, hamartia in the singular. I would not have come to know about the sin nature except through the law. For indeed, I would not have known about lusting, the lust patterns of the sin nature, if the law had not said, you shall not lust. And that's the Tenth Commandment. So, previews of coming attractions, this is all coming up in the next chapter, chapter 7. But we'll probably have the rapture before I get there, so not to worry. Now that brings us to point two. Point two, the Bible has a lot of different synonyms that describe the sin nature. So synonyms for the sin nature. The first one is the one we have, I presented to you, hamartia. Hamartia in the singular. When you have hamartia in the singular, most of the time it's referring to the sin nature. Romans 5:12, 1 Corinthians 15:56, Romans 7:14, we got that coming up again in chapter 7, Romans 7:14. Actually, we have two different words, synonyms, in Romans 7:14 for the sin nature. So turn over to Romans 7, verse 14. Two different synonyms for the sin nature in this verse. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, of the flesh. That's not sarx. Sarx is the word flesh, and that's the synonym for the sin nature. That's the noun. This is the adjective, and the adjective is sarkinos. S-A-R-K-I-N-O-S. That's the adjective. Sarx is the noun, flesh. Sarkinos is the adjective, often translated of the flesh, or fleshly, or carnal. Sarkinos, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh. Sarkinos, I have a sin nature, and I am sold as a slave to the sin nature, and there we have sin, hamartia, in the singular. So two different synonyms, hamartia in the singular, I am sold as a slave to the sin nature, hamartia in the singular, and sarkinos, I am fleshly, of the flesh. So hamartia in the singular, Romans 7:14, 1 John 1:8. In 1 John 1:8, it says, if we say that we have no sin nature, and the word there is hamartia in the singular, if we say that we have no sin nature, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, Romans 7:14, 1 John 1:8, we have hamartia in the singular referring to the sin nature. Secondly, we have the word sarx. That's the noun. Sarkinos is the adjective. The noun is sarx. S-A-R-K-S, Sarks. Sarks means flesh, and it emphasizes the location of the sin nature in the cell structure of the body. Because the sin nature is related to biological life, it's called sarx, or flesh. Galatians 5, 16, and 17, it's used three times in that passage. Turn over to Galatians 5. Three times we have sarx, sarx, and sarx. Galatians 5, 16, and 17. The Apostle Paul says, so I say, walk, live your life by the Spirit, by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And you will not gratify the lusts of the sarks, of the flesh, the sarks, the sin nature. And I'm reading from my NIV, they translated it sin nature. They translated sarks, sin nature, which, good translation. Excellent translation. So I say, live your life by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lust patterns of the flesh, the sin nature, the sarks. For the sarks, the sin nature, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sarks, the sin nature. They are at war with each other, so that you do not do what you want. So three times in that passage, sarks, literally flesh, refers to the sin nature. And then we have in Ephesians 2:3 the phrase, the lusts of the flesh. The lusts of the flesh refers to the sin nature. 1 John 2:16, we again have the phrase, the lusts of the flesh, referring to the sin nature. So it's looking at the sin nature with the lust patterns. The sin nature is made up of all these lust patterns. The lusts of the flesh is the sin nature, Ephesians 2:3, the lusts of the flesh is the sin nature, 1 John 2:16. And then we have what we have in our passage, Romans 6:6. Palaios anthropos, the old man. And the old man, palaios anthropos, emphasizes the origin of the sin nature. The sin nature is classified as the old man because it originated in the Garden of Eden with Adam. So it's old, been around a long time, see. Now, I know a lot of you are quite impressed with your ancestors and, you know, they came over on the Mayflower or something and all these. I go back to Adam. That takes care of it. We don't have to go on. You can't go any farther than that one. I know it's I'm one-upping him, but that's okay. And then fourth, we have our adjective, sarkinos, often translated carnal. It literally means fleshly, of the flesh, belonging to the flesh. We know the flesh is the sin nature. This refers to the believer under the control of a sin nature and therefore out of fellowship with God through personal sin and resultant cosmic involvement. We already saw it found in Romans 7:14, but an excellent passage that has sarkinos, the adjective for the sin nature, is 1 Corinthians 3. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. Brothers, he's addressing the royal family of God. He's addressing believers. I could not address you as spiritual. You're not living the spiritual life. But as sarkinos, carnal. as mere immature ones in Christ, I gave you milk, basic doctrine. I taught you basic doctrine, basic doctrine, basic doctrine. Not solid food, not advanced doctrine. For you were not ready for advanced doctrine. Indeed, and this is condemning, indeed, you are still not ready, and they have been believers a long time. What's the problem? They're living out of fellowship with God by the power of their sin nature. You are still not ready. You are still sarkinos, fleshly, operating by the sin nature. And then he explained how he knows that. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not sarkinos? Three times he describes them as living by their sin nature. Fleshly, sarkinos, carnal. They're carnal, carnal, carnal. They're not spiritual. There's no spiritual life. They're out of fellowship with God. And how is it manifested? Jealousy, mental attitude sins, quarreling, sins of the tongue among you. Are you not sarkinos, carnal? Are you not acting like mere unbelievers? Yes, they are. They're acting like mere unbelievers. They're living by their sin nature. So sarkinos, that's the fourth word, synonym. The fifth one, our body of sin. Again, that's our passage, Romans 6:6. Our body of sin, and our passage emphasizes the sin nature's headquarters, where it resides in the cell structure of the body. The sixth synonym is corruptible man. Corruptible man refers to the sin nature. Romans 1:23, and corruption means the sin nature, and the result of the sin nature, man is corrupted, physically, spiritually, morally. Corruptible man. And then seventh, corruptible seed in 1 Peter 1:23, and that refers to the transmission of the sin nature. The transmission of the sin nature. And then the eighth, there are several passages which describe sin, good or evil, as coming from the heart. Now in the Hebrew, that's lev. That's the word, or levav, both of them. That's used for heart in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, cardia. K-A-R-D-I-A. Now we get cardiology and cardiac and all these things used for the pump. But this is talking about the right lobe of the soul. What's going on right in here? That's the heart. The old sin nature always gets to the soul of man by attacking the heart. This is the old sin nature influencing thought so that sin, good, and evil are motivated in the thinking. We see it in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 17:9. Turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and beyond cure, who can understand it? That's the Old Testament. Now, turn to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. The Lord Jesus Christ is addressing the Pharisees. He is pointing out and condemning. Now the Pharisees are the religious leaders of Israel. They were the experts, supposedly, of the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law. If anybody was going to be in heaven, they were going to be in heaven, and Jesus Christ totally condemned them and said, no, you're not. And by the way, who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees? The Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He opposed Jesus Christ. He rounded up Christians and took them to be put in prison. He took them out to be stoned to death. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is condemning the Pharisees. He says in verse 34, "You brood of vipers." Vipers, snakes. You Pharisees are snakes. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil, you're evil, say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man, that's here, the spiritually mature believer, brings good things out of the good stored up in him, maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. But the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Now, turn over to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. He's still addressing, he's still dealing with the Pharisees, and I love the way he starts out in verse 16. Are you still so dull? Are you still so dull? Jesus asked them. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the mouth and then out of the body? He's talking about food. They were condemning people for eating without washing their hands. That's the Pharisees. That's a big one. No, it's not. They made it a big one. Don't you see whatever enters the mouth, food, goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Now, some of you are going to say, well, I'm not going to wash my hands. you don't have to. Men in construction, my father was in construction his whole life, and during the summers I worked with my dad as a laborer on construction. And when it came time for lunch break, we all got into the trailer, and everybody's sitting there, and nobody washed up. And our hands were filthy. Under the fingernails, nothing but dirt. Filthy. We all ate the food, talked, And one thing about men in construction, they only have four-letter words that they know. And they use that all the way through lunch. They're just going through all these four-letter words. I was in there one time sitting and eating, and they're just going on and on, this and that and that and the other. And then they go, "Rich, what are you doing now?" I said, "Well, I'm at Dallas Theological Seminary preparing for the ministry." "I am so sorry." "Oh, no, you don't have to be sorry. You communicated. I understood exactly what you're saying." Turn over to Mark. Mark 7. Mark 7, verse 20. He went on. "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, evil motivations, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." So the heart is also used in reference to the sin nature. That brings us to point three, but we got to take our break. I wasn't even paying attention. Time flies. We'll take a break and come back in a few with part two.